Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We had a big show, man. Squid Billy is here. Bo Morgan filling in for Carl. Carl begins his vacation sojourn. I think Europe, not sure. Day-Day's here. Oren's back at the ranch. We talked to Coach Raheem Morris. You'll hear what Coach had to say about why his special team's so bad. And what do you say to fans like me who say, not sure I want you back next year, Coach? You'll hear that. And also Rusty is today his signing day.
Hey, Carl is like kind of like Crocodile Dundee. He's going walkabout. We don't know when he'll be back. He's going to walk about.
I mean, look, I'm not lying to you. Carl just does. And you know me, guys. If I go on vacation, I'm like, hey, guess where I'm going? Because I told you, I'm that 12-year-old. I just booked a vacation. I'm going on a trip. But anyway, Carl will be off for a couple of days. Tomorrow, special show. Stakey and I are going to be at the Buffalo's in Cumming, which is a wild room, man. It's a good time party. Steak Shapiro, little throwback to Mayhem in the PM.
Wow.
With a Steak and I tomorrow. And then coming up on Friday, guys, busy day for the station. We find out, and I apologize, we've not really talked about this in depth, but it is the World Cup draw day where we know where everybody's playing. We're going to know who's coming to Atlanta and what kind of crazy scene we're going to have here for the World Cup. 99 The Game's got a full day of coverage. Andy Randy live from the official Atlanta host party. I believe that's in the streets of Buckhead down by Fido. Jason Longshore is going to be on at 6, special edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight on Friday night. Break it all down. Brought to you by McDonald's. Grab the Grinch meal from McDonald's and collect all the matching Grinch socks. That's all this Friday, right here on 92.9 The Game. All right, brother, what's up with Drake? What does your spidey sense tell you about what Raheem said about Drake's status for this weekend?
When he says day-to-day, normally that means the player is going to play. That is the tell. The week-to-week is the other one. So my first instinct is that he's going to play. And I hit you with this earlier.
However,
he said the word when it's safe for the player. And when he says that means – makes me think about the turnaround. It's a quick turnaround to play against Tampa on the road. You've got to travel, all of that. He essentially would not even do the walkthroughs that they're going to do leading into the Tampa game, I would think. So I tend to think that they might hold him another week, which really, really, really sucks considering you're playing the 11th best pass defense and the second best run defense and third best scoring defense in the league in Seattle this week. So I think if Drake can pull, Drake is tough, man. He is absolutely a beast.
And I hate it's a contract year for him, even though I thought he was going to get the extension.
He did. He got the fifth year.
But I'm saying, a new contract.
Okay.
I thought we'd do what the Jets did with their guy that was in the same draft pick.
Yeah.
Same draft class, I should say.
I wonder, Mike, if it's not strategic to do it where you do it going into next year, maybe, and then that way you have 2 years of maybe being financially fiscal with it, and then you can kind of do something similar with Bijan, because remember, they're going to be back-to-back
right
kind of coming up.
It was Garrett Wilson, I couldn't remember his name, a 4-year, $130 million contract, add 5% to that, and that's what you're probably looking at for Drake.
Yeah, so I just wonder if they're not trying to do that where they have that year where they both years to kind of go by and you allow the cap to grow, and then, you know, you don't know where you're going to be depending on the quarterback. And then you're going to have Jalen and James come up. So you're really – now we're really forecasting down the road on what guys might be. But I think maybe there's some strategy to that.
Last year, guys, we lost to the Seahawks 34-14. Kirk was 24-35, 232, a touchdown, two picks. Bijan did get over 103 yards with a touchdown. But as Bo said, Seattle's – Mike McDonald is – I mean, who is – which McDonald is that? That's
– yeah.
Yeah, I got it right. Mike McDaniel is Coach Bruh down in Miami. Mike McDonald, he's the guy that came from the Ravens. We interviewed him. He did get a second interview with the Falcons in the hiring cycle 2 years ago.
Yeah, but it sounds like he was kind of always headed to Seattle. That's the thing that I think some people, I'm not saying anyone in here, some people have revisionist history with the coaching search. And I know you know that. I've heard you talk about it. Harbaugh was not coming here. He used us.
Right. I wanted him, but he was using us for leverage like everyone.
Yeah.
In a time-honored tradition that goes back to Bill Parcells.
Yes. Well, yeah. I think Mike McDonald was taking the interviews too. Forgive me, but I can never remember the guy's name. But the OC in Houston wasn't coming here. He didn't want to take it. Ben Johnson, Bobby Slowick, thank you, Orrin.
And boy, his brand took a big hit.
Well, yeah, and you know why they supposedly he lost his job was the whole thing was is that he didn't fix the pass protection schemes, and that's why they kind of knew what they were doing and he never advanced it. Okay. And that was his friend too, and that he went over there with. But then Ben Johnson, he was never going to leave Detroit. He wanted to go chase a title, which he tried. So. I'm not saying that we settled. I'm not saying that anything other than don't tell me how we could have had that guy and that guy when they were never coming here.
I wanted Harbaugh just because he was a complete shock to the system. Mm-hmm. It would have been so completely out of left field. I know that we've debated. I know you've talked about on the morning shift. Rich McKay, so I'm on the field in Berlin. He's still the CEO of the Falcons. But is he the guy that Arthur uses as his sounding board? Their relationship, I cannot explain. I can't define any more than it's marrow deep. And I can't imagine, just my spidey sense, that Rich will not continue to be involved in helping Arthur form his decisions about this football team. And whether you like, and we like Rich as a person, but he's been the constant in the equation the last 8 years, not going to the playoffs, no winning seasons. So a lot of folks, it gives them pause to think that however this goes down, it's the same guys kind of cooking in the kitchen.
Do you, and what's your thought, and I know it, but I want you to state it because I want to ask you a question to follow up. What's your thought on when it all went downhill? Because personally, I feel like you can say talk about the OC thing, but to me, it was when you gave contracts to guys that you should, like Julio.
It all got the cap hit. It's all daisy chain to Bo's point, because Matt, and people always think it was Matt. Well, Matt was the only object or the only vehicle for kicking the can, because you assumed that the quarterback was going to be there. Julio asking for a raise 2.5 years after becoming the highest paid wide receiver was in part the sort of the straw that broke the camel's back, facilitated by Arthur saying he's a Falcon for life. To me, I put it more recent. I think it's St. Patrick's Day, go back to 21, and I'm going to say it's when Arthur Blank decided he wanted Deshaun Watson. He wanted the ball boy from Gainesville, who, of course, at the time, you know, there was a bit of a cloud. The things were just beginning to boil over down in Houston in his personal life. But Arthur, somebody in this building, no one ever takes responsibility for it. Fontenot, we asked him. Everyone passes the buck. Presume it was Arthur. And then you basically had Deshaun Watson in this building while Matt Ryan, the greatest quarterback, greatest player you've ever had. It's a sign of disrespect. And basically Matt's like, get me the hell out of here. And you wind up trading him for a third rounder, which begets Mariota, which begets Ritter.
Yeah.
And it's just, to me, that's for me, where I'd say right there is when this Falcons organization went from bad to just worse.
Yeah, I think that when, you know, I didn't agree with it at the time, but you put Thomas and DQ in a spot where they were trying to save their jobs, so they were making moves that didn't help you down the road. Couple that with that, and then you never said, we're resetting the cap, we're competing while rebuilding, and all that did was keep expectations up here, and when in reality you could never attain them, and that's why we're in this where we think expectations are one thing, and maybe they're not. I don't know.
Hey, man, 8 years, guys, 8 years. I mean, that's why you'll hear our conversation with Raheem talk about special teams, and you know, what do you say to the fans? Hey, guys, this hour of the show brought to you by Mark Spain. Don't forget, Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Today's signing day. It used to be a big day, and for folks we know, it's the lifeblood of your program. Rusty Manziel gets into it with us because some folks are saying the Georgia class is not where it's been the last couple of years. Kirby has established the bar so high. Is that a lot of hype? You know, we talked about losing the quarterback you thought you were getting. We'll talk to Rusty about that. And is USC and Notre Dame, are they really stacking these five stars? Recruiting and Rusty next right here on Dukes and Bell, live from the branch.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, man, Dukes and Bell, show is flying by today. I was telling that to Squid. I mean, if you don't like the show, maybe it feels like it sucks and it's dragging. We think it's flying by. 5 o'clock hour is brought to you by Jim Ellis Kia at Town Center Kennesaw. We're live from Falcons headquarters. What did Raheem Morris have to say about the special teams? Why can't they fix it? What's going on with the wide receivers they brought in? What's up with Seattle? Remember this last time we saw Sam Darnold? He lit us up like a Christmas tree. Secondary was one hot mess back in December 8th last season.
Yeah, but you couldn't get home. You couldn't get home again. That was a team that couldn't get home. You can get home now. So yes. Go heat them up.
They've only go to your homes.
They've only given up 15 sacks this year, Mike, all Seattle. Right. So that's why they've looked so good. Can they protect him? That's, you know.
All right, man. We're going to find out. Right now, let's find out what the heck's going on with recruiting. Recruiting is the lifeblood of your program. Georgia's been top three. I was looking at last year's numbers. I talked about it in the class of 25, all those five stars. Kirby didn't get Jared Curtis, as we're joined now by the best in the business, Rusty Manziel, on three, and he knows his stuff. Rusty, I get that Kirby would never tell us he got blindsided, but, you know, the eggs were kind of in the Jared Curtis basket, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, for quarterback, there's no question. I mean, it would probably piss off Georgia fans if they knew who they told not to call him back in, you know, April or May. You're all in there. And listen, there's no way to sugarcoat that. I've known this kid for 2 years. I've seen him practice, play. I mean, this kid's Josh Allen to me. I mean, this dude is special. He's 6'3" and a half. He's 235 pounds. He can freaking throw at 100 miles an hour. He's an athlete. You know, he's not stiff in the pocket. Just really, it hurts you. You can't sit here and say it don't. But, you know, listen, what Georgia's built. I said this morning on the morning shift, and I said on the steakhouse, in 2016, perception, Kirby had to have Jacob Eason. There was no way he could miss him. He'd been there a couple of weeks. He was a five-star, number two rated quarterback in America. He could not miss Jacob Eason. You fast forward 9, 10 years later, and Georgia's just built so different. They'll survive it, and they'll get the next one.
Rusty, with the drama going on with Lamar Brown, kind of figuring out with Lane Kiffin there at LSU and the Blake Baker stuff, Is there any thought that maybe Kirby and Georgia swoop in and try to sway him?
No. Lamar Brown is in a – he's got a couple of commas in what he's going to get. Yeah. He's not worried about a power bill ever again at 17 years old. So, listen, Georgia went out and got who they thought was probably their number two tackle on their board, Ikenne Igboko. He's a kid 6'6", 320 pounds out of North Carolina. You know, they were in on Jackson Cantwell, and Miami came in, and they got him in the end. And that was a kid that was a heavy lean to Georgia. They could not miss on Ikenne Igboko. And he's a five-star for us, has had a great senior season. You've got to have a premier left tackle, and Kirby Smart was not missing there. And let me tell you something. That one got deep, and that one, there's about three or four class that you cannot, you've got to have one of those, and Kirby Smart was not missing again on him.
Right. It's our man, Rusty Manziel, guys, the best in the business to be talking recruiting on signing day, which just ain't got the same pop, Rusty, knowing that, you know, even for all the bluster about these kids, hell, man, guys could be at another school in less than a year. Real quick, Georgia right now, depends on who you talk to. Rivals has them at 2. Other guys have Georgia at 6. So where is Georgia?
The composite rankings is what you want to go off of. Right now they're 4th. Okay. And what they did today, I mean, that was – listen, this was pretty hairy last night. I think Georgia fans – all the attention was on Jared Curtis, and rightfully so, man. But it got I would say, hairy behind the scenes on a couple. P.J. Dean, the four-star defensive line out of Charlotte. I mean, Shane Beamer went all in on him the last, like, 48 hours. That one got pretty close. Then all of a sudden – you go to Caden Harris, who's the number one defensive back in the state of Tennessee. Oh, by the way, from the Middle Tennessee area, Nashville, Jared Curtis starts working on him last night. So Georgia spent most of the night there, held him off, signed him. There was a lot going on behind the scenes there. About an hour ago, they get Blake Stewart, former Clemson commit out of Woodward Academy. It's strange. Both of you guys know about this. You followed it long enough to know. It's strange to sit here and say Georgia held off Vanderbilt twice today,
right?
Because this is the first time. This first time Vandy's ever had red share. They're running around like they're the damn cheetah of 1994 with a gold card. You know what I mean? They're buying it all up, and it really is crazy. But that's what's going on. Everybody's got money now.
It's funny because they are the Commodores. Vandy's spelled like drunken sailors, man. They just got shore leave, and they got a pocket full of 20s. Rusty, real quick.
Taking out Broadway hard.
Just as a follow-up, Puglisi is locked in, right? He's not going to leave the reservation.
I would be very surprised. You know what I mean? He's pot committed. He's been this far. Okay, you think about it. Okay, he's 1 year away. So this time next December, he would be the front runner for that job. He knows Gunner's coming back. You know, you never know, man. You're one sprained ankle away. Jacob Eason had a sprained ankle. He never got it back. I mean, he beat Jake Fromm for that job in fall camp. He rolls his ankle on the first drive at App State game, and the rest was history. So you never know. He always knows he's one play away, and the kid's been wired different. I will never forget sitting in Nashville at a convention, and his dad looked at me and said, "Rusty, do you know how hard it is for me to call Ryan Day and say, quit calling my kid? He's going to Georgia." You know what I mean? Like, that's how far they were in. And he's really pot committed at Georgia. You never say never because you don't know what people are going to throw at him in January and his agent. But right now, I still think he's solidly to Georgia and expecting to be on this team next year.
Rusty, I got a ton of questions for you. I missed you this morning. What's the deal with the John Summerall hiring over at Florida? I've heard, you know, a lot of the fans down there say, Billy Napier – 2.0, he can't recruit. Mm-hmm. How is he on the recruiting trail, and what do you know about him just as a coach in general?
Here's what I'll say. I mean, you don't have an SEC example for him. He doesn't have that in his resume, but he's wanted every place he's been to, okay? And you kind of know what you need. The landscape continues to change every year, so Florida knows what they need to do to compete. And, you know, hiring a general manager, whether or not that was the determining factor not to get Lane Kiffin, the rumors are that's what turned Lane Kiffin off. They were going to make their hire on their GM, and you were going to have to work with that guy. Evidently, Lane Kiffin did not want to do that. He wanted to bring his own guy in. So I think I would love to sit down with Jimmy Sexton and find out what happened between Auburn and Florida because there were so many things happening between those two jobs. And Summerall, some people say Summerall was waiting to see what Lane was going to do at Ole Miss. And he waited too late for that. And so there was a lot going on there. I personally think Summerall is a good coach. Just from everything I know, just from the coaching circles, the people I talk to go, this is a really good hire. But look, guys, It's about everything else around you. You got to have freaking players, man, and it's got to pan out. You know what I mean? Billy Napier went all in on DJ Lagway. I'm not blaming anybody, but that didn't work. And Billy Napier is unemployed. So it's just like NFL, man. I don't care who you are. If you ain't got a quarterback, you're going to be unemployed at some point. So they've got to get that figure. If DJ Lagway is the guy, Summerall's got to make this OC hire. It's got to be right, and you get that kid fixed right now because Florida is deep in on that kid.
Yeah, Billy Napier might be the next coach at Tulane. I don't know, Penn State could have him. They seem to – maybe you want to talk to Jimmy Sexton and ask him about Penn State.
Mike Bell, do you have a JUCO year left? Because they got plenty of spots up there. I think you'd be a hell of a nose guard up there at Penn State. You look good in the wideout.
Man, I got to be honest. I've been to Happy Valley once. I ain't going back.
They pay you actually now these days.
I've heard it is hard to get there, man.
Russ, that is not Pennsylvania. That's Pennsylvania. Anyway, go ahead, Bob.
Rusty, I know that you have a lot of contacts. What about the Pete Golding thing now at Ole Miss? Look, the way it seemed is he kind of got told to leave Alabama, and not even just told. It sounds like Saban was finding him places to go to get rid of him, and now he's turned into a pretty good DC, and boom, he's the head coach of Ole Miss now. Can they go in with Pete Golding, continue this, and maybe continue this run this year with him and Charlie Weiss Jr. calling plays?
They got a hell of a team now, guys. I watched in Athens, you know what I mean? And it was one of those games where that was the first time. I know what happened in Ole Miss last year. And then Georgia was banged up, and they were rolling in Oxford. And that was just one of those days where Ole Miss, it was their day. But I watched Ole Miss in that building in Sanford Stadium. And that's the first time I ever thought, you know what? They looked like Georgia. They looked like Alabama. They got big corners. They got big linemen. They looked like a freaking team. And, you know, I think Georgia in the end, they finally got to the quarterback late in the game, and that was the difference. But they've got players. They're going to run the same system. We're about to find out, you know, when you do this, you know, is this a rallying point? You know what I mean? Is this a Steve Fisher? This is that moment for them. Is this a rallying point for a very talented football team who, oh, by the way, is going to be really rested up going into this? And I'm not sure how many people are going to take them serious as a team that can win this thing. But they would be – two teams just take everything out. Two teams for me, and Ohio State would be the obvious. But two teams besides them, Ole Miss and Notre Dame, would be two teams I would not be in a hurry to play in a playoff setting.
Right on. Hey, we got to rock and roll. We got to replay Raheem Morris. We got into some things that I think Falcon fans want to hear. But I got to ask you one last question. With Bobo out, you know, with that center out, and a ferocious nose tackle, this is going to be a long day. I mean, is Kirby going to go 0-5 against Bama in SEC championships?
I mean, he's 1-7. I mean, you got to get some momentum at some time. You got to find a way to win one, and you got to get a little bit of momentum. And it's been two or three plays, Mike. It's been a drop touchdown. It's been a missed block. Win the freaking turnover battle for once. That's been the consistent thing. Giving up easy 3 points. They gave up easy 3 points on that Nate Frazier fumble. Guess what? They got beat 24-21.
Right.
Got to take care of little things, man, in a game like this.
Defense got better as the season's evolved. I know I've talked to you about this off the air, Russ. Get Zach Branch the ball early and often, man. He's got to have more than five touches.
Yeah. I mean, I think teams kind of focus in on him too, but listen, you got to ride your horse, man. And he's the difference maker. Chauncey Bowens will be back this weekend. Chauncey Bowens tore Alabama up. They had 227 yards rushing on Alabama in the last game. Let's see if they can carry over their momentum. If they can get 227 yards again, Georgia's going to win that game.
All right, Big Rusty. Great stuff, man. That's Rusty Manziel. Follow him on Twitter. The latest on recruiting says Georgia's hanging about four if you take the whole thing and add it up. And Kirby was able to close because some last-minute challenges came up in recruiting. That's Rusty. Come back. 5 o'clock hour brought to you by Jim Ellis Kia at Town Center, Kennesaw. Raheem Morris, why especially him so bad? Find out next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, man, live from Flowery Branch, the only stations here live during the week. 5 o'clock hour brought to you by Jim L.S. Kia, Town Center, Kennesaw. Mike and Squid in for Stakey. Reminder, guys, the game is your home of live college football coverage right here in the A. College football game time brought to you by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com and by Alumni Hall. Shop Dogs and Tide and Tennessee and more. It's where fans shop. John Fricky, Chris Goforth, Abe Gordon, and the G-Money, Garrett Chapman, all setting the stage for the big matchups. And then, guys, we will have the Big Ten Championship following the Hawks game all right here this weekend on 92. Denying the game.
Yeah, Mike, earlier we got to catch up with Raheem Morris. We asked him a plethora of things, including what's up with special teams.
You said it yourself. Special teams were awful. Man, how come we can't, why can't we fix special teams?
You know, it was a challenging day to begin with. We knew that going in. It was the reason we made some decisions to kick the ball in the end zone. When we took the lead there, you know, I made a decision to kick it off to him. So, you know, try to gain some momentum, get him pinned back right there, go out there and get a stop, and you could really put the game away. But that turned to me very quickly with the long kickoff return, and that went all downhill. Now, great job by our defense going out, getting a big-time three and out, you know, giving us the fighting chance to be able to do some really good things there. But, you know, when you put together the bad decision on the punt return, you put together the kickoff return and some of that stuff, that's just always going to be an awful day. And you never really want to ever point the finger at one side of the ball or one phase or one thing. But in this particular game, you just had to be honest. And I felt like it's always the best punt is to be honest with you guys and honest with your fans and everybody that's listening, because you have to be. Like, it's not pointing the fingers, not blaming. It's something that we got to fix, something that I'm a part of, something that we're all a part of. But at the same time, you just got to be honest with everybody that's a part of it.
Well, what does it look like fixing it? Because I know the fans, we hear you talking. It's okay. Well, we're trying. But it feels like a couple of times this guy's getting pinned, right, on the inside, and they're bouncing these kickoff returns outside. What goes into that fixing that? Because it just seems like it's happening over and over again. The Agnew thing is just a mental mistake. We can knock that up. And the pinion punt at the end of the game is kind of, it's just a missed kick. It's nothing you can do about that. But how are you guys actually going about fixing it?
So, you know, when you're talking about the kickoff, you know, you're talking about it's not always the same problem. You know, it is what it is. You can't make the same mistake. You know, and when you're going down and you're covering your lanes, it's usually owning your leverage. And when one guy doesn't own their leverage, as you guys know, you get into a problem. It's like a bad run fit. One guy has a bad run fit, it pops out, and then it depends on how far it can get. And this one got way too far, right? And we had the bad run fit with one guy not doing their job. That's a problem, right? Everybody has to do their job. Like, when you go out there and stop the run, all 11 guys got to do it. It's one big run fit just in a lot of space, and you got to be able to control that space. So when you go out there, you got to stress the importance of maintaining your leverage, being able to shed a block, come off and make the tackle, and then you don't have to do it. You know, like Marquis says it all the time, if one guy makes one mistake, he stresses out everybody else in the coverage, and it makes everybody else expend more energy. And that's exactly what happened on that play.
We talked about it with Arch yesterday on the in the his conversation with us on the air with Duke Sabel. Just out of the curiosity, you like getting the ball to start the game just to try to feel get some pressure? Because I know the conventional wisdom says try to flip it and get them. And you know, it doesn't matter because you got the Jets on a three and out in the second half. But just philosophically, you like having the ball?
Pretty excited about getting the ball first. I like going out there, letting them touch it, let them run the football, you know, get Bijan going, get him touches, establish it, and really – the reason we like to do it is also for time possession. You know, there was a time in the league when we were like second in the league in time possession when we were able to control the ball that way. Because if you do come out, I know a lot of people like to play the whole flip game. If you can go score right before half and then get the ball back and score again, you can get the flip game. But what we like to do is go out and get that three and out, that early stop on defense, set the tone, get the ball back like we're able to do a lot of times this year, and then give you offense right back the ball. And it's almost like you got the ball twice to start the half. So, you know, really, it can be kind of an advantage for us that time has worked out in our favor in moments.
Right.
You know, the Bills game, particularly, that we think about. And really, in this game, we let in time possession and really had no business doing that with some of the things that happened. But that's kind of the theory, and we like to do that when it presents itself. But, you know, like you said, like people like to do the other way and, you know, and kick off a lot of times, so you get the ball a lot and all those things happen.
Coach Raheem Morris is with us, guys, on Duke Sabel with Bo in today for Carl. The defense, we talked about, unfortunately, the special teams gaffe. They do hold them to a field goal. It just seems like, and this is where we get into, like, can you get four quarters? Because, man, that last drive where Tyrod Taylor looks like Mike Vick.
Yeah, he was.
And it was just, when you look at the film, it was just, was it discipline, or you just trip your cap to what the Jets were doing?
No, it's one of the things where you have the ability. We've improved our rush so much. And you go out there and you improve your rush, and then there's one moment where one guy, again, can mess up, and he's able to get out and scramble. And he's scrambling in one play, and one made one big play. We have to run him down from safety position, put him in position. And then he made the big play on the scramble, obviously, to score the touchdown that he made. He made a couple people miss in those situations. He got the ability to do that. He's not Mike Vick. Went to the same school, nice comparison, but he certainly has a little bit of ability to make people miss, and a lot of quarterbacks in this league do. And it's kind of become more prevalent in our league, and you got to be able to maintain that and do a better job there.
Look, Mike was asking me earlier on the podcast, he was talking about off the air about Kirk Cousins and what was the difference in Miami and New Orleans.
Huge.
And the game last week. And I was saying, I think it looks like a confidence thing, but he's doing things that I don't think we saw him do last week. Like the sight adjustment stuff was one thing. The throw to Algier, right, where it looks like Algier dances around the guy coming off the edge, and Kirk, I don't know if it was hot or not. I'm not smart enough to know that kind of stuff. I listened to a guy who's smart enough over there in Arch during the game, but that was a great,
watching,
the audibles
judging
to the Sills play for the touchdown. Let's talk about where he is now compared to where he was in the Miami game.
Well, the Miami game is a tough situation for anybody. You know, it was kind of the up-in-the-air week. Is Mike playing? Is he not? You're preparing like you're the starter. You get thrown into the role right away, and you got to go. And then you go out there and you play, and you don't play as well as you want to play. That happens to a bunch of them. But the last 2 weeks versus the Saints and obviously the Jets, you go out and he gets all the preparation. He gets all the meeting time. He's able to go up and make all his corrections. He's able to go look at it on tape. He's able to get back out there. He's able to go refine it in the walkthrough. You take the walkthrough. You get all those things done. Whatever you don't like, you can scrap. The things you like, you can emphasize. And you go out there and you do it. And it's just showing up in the game. Just the little things you're talking about. Having the comfort and the ability to step under protection and breaks down and step up and dump that ball to Algier. I usually don't get as excited about a lot of plays. I get excited about that one because I knew the details and the intricate movement he had to make to get up there and throw that ball to the right area to get it to Algier, to allow Algier to get a 32-yard gain, which was special. And then we come out, we get a zero pressure down in the red zone. We're able to check to one of our screens. We get the screen off. Boom. Seals make a great catch on an ugly throw. We get the ball in our hands. Seals finds a way to get in the end zone. And, like, that's execution, and that's the thing we got to be able to maintain more. And that's the growth and the development that I'm able to see within the team and within the framework of all of us. And, like, you know, not to mention what we've been able to do in the red zone the last couple of weeks. So it's been outstanding. You know, we get down there, we score. And that's been great.
We talked about it earlier in the show. I thought Kyle Pitts had a pretty good day in the office. I mean, I know as far as maybe in some of the run blocking schemes, if he missed some things, but it seemed like he was active. He was running with some purpose. So you like what you got from Pitts this week?
You know, what he gave us was like, you know, it's like kid ourselves. Like he's been, you know, sort of standing in for the acting Drake route, right? So he's been able to go in there and be targeted. I believe it was 7 out of 8 of the targets. Wish he'd have got that 8th one. That could have been a big difference in the
contested
game.
Ball late.
Contested ball.
Put it there,
you know, we're a little bit late. I still think he can make the catch or potentially a flag. But all those things happen in the game for a reason. But, like, I'm really pleased with where Kyle is and the intent that he's playing with, you know, like in the blocking as well. You know, I don't want to take away and discredit what he's doing in the blocking. I got some real good tape when you show him getting four hands on people. Really doing some violent things for us. It's been good.
The problem is, we said, you know, Sills makes that catch at the end zone, but can't make the catch. And that gets back to that whatever it is, the four quarters, because I thought Kirk, too, and Bo and I were talking about it earlier, I thought he hit the guys in the hands. I think he, and you don't have your best, as you mentioned, not having
Drake.
We're
not going to make those excuses, Mike. You know, like, we had, like, plays, we had opportunities in that last three plays to make all three of those plays. You know, we talked about Kyle Pitts one, you just mentioned the Seals, but even the last play to Mooney, I mean, that hits him in the hands. And we got to, if one person can make that play, we're down right in position to figure out 47 seconds left, two timeouts. It's going to be about, you know, who knows, you know, 40, you know, 2, 30, whatever seconds, and you're calling timeout. You're banging it. You need about 5 more yards to put yourself in position for a long field goal. And then you're making a choice of whether you're getting closer and how you want to do that. Now that puts, you know, obviously Tyler and Bijan back into the game with the run game because you still got a timeout. Your screen game's still alive. You got the whole playbook right in front of you. Don't have to rush out of bounds, and then you can make a decision to, you know, eat the clock up, kick the game, win the field goal, get out of Dodge. That didn't happen because we got to make one of those plays, and you got to make that play.
Yeah. I know you explained a couple weeks ago to Mike and Carl about what week to week means and day to day means. I figured it out with AJ, but also I think I speak a little bit of Coach Rye. You said something in the press conference, if it was accurately quoted, about when it's safe to play Drake, you'll play him. How much of that safe consideration comes in the fact that you're going to play Sunday and then turn around and play Thursday? And that's a tough ask for him. Is that into the consideration of where he might be?
I think for me, it's all about the people. It's about our people and our guys. Like, I got so much care for these guys. I want to make sure they're as healthy as they can be to get out there, and want to make sure that they are not in harm's way by any way. And so we'll always make sure that we always take that into, you know, consideration. I mean, you're talking about playing a game in, you know, short amount of time, two games. So we got to check. We got to make sure. We got to figure it out. And what's that going to look like? And what's it going to look like for Drake, more importantly, than anything else? And, like, that's first and foremost got to be about the people. And then after that, it's about how do we do it without it, or how do we do it with them? And I think Drake is he'll communicate at a very high level with our doctors, with our people, to make sure we can figure out what we need to do.
Coach Raheem Morris, guys, with us live on Dukes and Bell inside the Ticketmaster Studios. You brought some people in to work out at wide receiver. See anything you liked?
We bring in people, you know, every Tuesday. And then, like, all of those workouts, bring those guys in. You always see people you like. You always get people to rotate in and find out what's going on. You know, we bring in wideouts before. We bring in linebackers. We bring in a bunch of people. You know, our guys upstairs consistently trying to turn over the bottom of the roster or really see what's going on, what's out there. You know, there's a couple of different leagues that just ended that are, you know, trying out guys and things of that nature, see what's going on. So we're always doing that.
And then Seattle, we know they got a really tough defensive front, physical. They got some dudes. What do you see on film? What are they doing?
They got a tough everything. You know, like, they're a good football team. And I really like how they've been built. I really like what they've done, you know, starting with their general manager and what they've been able to do. Let's be honest. They're one of the teams that you stole the model from, right? Starts up front with those guys. And when you got Leonard Williams, Byron Murphy, you got Mafe, you got, you know, D. Hall, you go out and get Lawrence and free agency. You got first rounders and second rounders all over the place in that D line. And, you know, that's what we've been doing over the last couple of years, you know, with the Dorlis and the Rook this year, with the James and the Jalen, trying to build that thing up so you can build it up into that type of a model. They went out and got Ernest Jones in free agency. We went and got Devine. They went out and drafted the Dick Nickel. We went and got Billy Bowman. We went and got Watt. You know, they had guys like Kobe Bryant. They got guys in that defense, Witherspoon, who's one of the better cornerbacks in the league. We got A.J. Terrell. They built it the right way. They've done a great job. They've been able to rush the pass in known situations. They've been able to stop the run. And they've been able to dictate terms for the most of the year. And, like, they're making winning look easy. You know, right now we're making it hard, and we got to find a way to make it look easy like those guys are.
Well, and they've only given up, I think, like 20 sacks this year or something. They've been pretty good up 15, actually, I think it is, up front. James Pierce has played with his hair on fire seemingly the last 3 or 4 weeks. He had, I think, like 1.5 sacks for forever. Now he's up to 5. What has unlocked him? Because he did a spin move on Mimbu last week that honestly was pretty sick.
Bo, it's crazy. Like, I talk about it with these guys all the time. You don't get a chance to talk. I like you, Bo. I don't get a chance to talk with these guys. I like you way better than these guys.
Well,
I don't get a chance to talk to you much, but, like, I was telling these guys, I'm like, you know, like, I don't just look at the number of sacks, right? I can go back to the Tampa game he affected and just getting, you know, Baker off the spot and moving him all over the place. And we played pretty good defense other than Baker scrambling around in a couple plays.
Right.
So then we came back the following week versus Minnesota, and James probably fell off 2 sacks that game, you know, where he maybe three, you know, yeah, where he caused it, fell off of it, was a part of it, whatever. And then I just watched him get better and better every single week. And then, you know, I watch him work on different moves in practice, and he's been working on that spin move probably for about, I say, over the last 5 weeks. the start of practice, I've been watching the work on, and then it came to life in a really big moment that could have been a walk-off win for us. And, like, I'm so proud of all those guys and how they've been working up front.
What is the difference, though? Because he did have high pressure rates. You're absolutely right. I was keeping up with that. But what's the difference, and how did he figure out how to finish? Because he's getting there, and other guys were getting his sacks, essentially, but now he's finishing.
I think it's the intent. I think it was his intent in the walkthrough. I think it's the understanding of the defense. I think it's the knowing when you can turn it loose and when you can go. You definitely see he's not thinking nearly as much as he was at the beginning of the season. He's not playing nearly as tentative he did. And that's all expected when you're talking about a first-year player out there. And, like, when do you get off the ball? When am I letting it go? When am I ripping it? You know, I think all these things seem, like, really easy to the normal guy. But when you're out there and it's got real intent behind the call and, right, you know, people are counting you to do the right thing, I think that's really important for him to start to get.
Wrapping up with Coach Raheem Morris. And, again, Chris Lindstrom, guys, going to be our player guest later here live from Falcons. Just to wrap it up, you know, we've talked about expectations. I know you meet with Arthur Blank each week. We talk about it. You know, we're honest. We never say anything on the radio we're not going to say. I said, if I ran this team, I don't think I'm bringing you back, Coach.
Yeah.
But what do you say to the audience and to fans out there like me that have season tickets that say, because I know you just talked about, you got so many young studs on this team. Fire breathers. You know, Terry got you at edge rush and Bowman. And we already talked about Jalen and Pierce. We know that Bijan and when Drake's out there, what you got. I mean, what do you say to fans who say, you know, Coach, I don't know. Why should I bring you back next year?
You know, I don't think I can say it to the fans. I think you got to show them, right? So I think it's about building the process, right? So what are we doing? We went out and got a young quarterback. A young quarterback got hurt. We got to bring him back. Can't wait for him to get back. We went out and got a bunch of young studs on defense. They're starting to play better. And you just can't build a thing overnight. And we're building it. And it's a process. And you want to see steady improvement. We had a little bit of a drop off. And now we want to finish this thing the right way and do things the right way and go about our business so we can make sure we can finish it the right way. You never know what's going to happen. But all I know is this, is our job is to win. We're in the business of football, but our job is to win, and we got to go out there and do those things. Like, and right, we can figure it out. Like, you know, like you saying that doesn't hurt my feelings. You know, like, I think we're in the business of entertainment.
That's where it comes from. We're all penciled in. We got to put up numbers. You got to put up numbers.
That's where it all comes from. I think you can't duck or you can't hide from that either. So, like, I like for us is like, you know, I hate the guys that get sensitive about that. Like, for me, it's like, hey, man, you got to do your job. And I got a lot of belief in myself to do it. I got a lot of belief in this building. I got a lot of belief in the people in around here. And we got to get it done.
That's our conversation with Raheem Morris, guys. Appreciate Raheem coming on the show, as always. And Chris Lindstrom, Wes Durham joined us. Rusty Manziel also talking about what's going on with recruiting squad. Hope you had fun today, man.
I had a blast sitting in.
And tomorrow's steak with me, guys, at Buffalo's in Cumming. It's going to be a hoot, man, off of 400 Day-Day. You got to ride chaperone and shotgun on that. Let's get out of here and clear our throat.
I got a PSA, Mike, for the College Football Playoff Committee. Just tell us the blunt truth. We value a win over Auburn better and more than we value a win over Stanford. Instead of all the other, you know, whatever he said, right, this word salad, just tell the absolute blunt truth. That's it, and I can live with that.
I'm with you. I mean, I just felt like I understand why they did it, but then they go in, the way they explain it, it makes no sense. Lane Kiffin, guys, he's reverted back to what he is. He's a liar. He's a pathological liar. He loves chaos. He loves tweaking the bear. He likes poking the bear, and he also says stuff that isn't true. Nobody universally in that locker room wanted him back. And now the players are mocking him and telling you how it really went down because even they got sick of the soap opera with Lane Kiffin. Hey, if you love the show,
tell your friends.
If you don't,
don't go hang out with Lane Kiffin.
Fumble!
You caught me off guard.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.